Howdy, howdy, howdy. How you doing this morning? God is hanging on to us, amen? Are we hanging on to Him? Amen? That's the catch. We got to keep hanging on. He is holding on to us, carrying us through. What a great God we serve. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Turn over to the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I have a lot of good memories from my childhood. I trust that you've got good memories as well. I was the last of four children and grew up with many hand-me-downs. None of you ever had any hand-me-downs, did you? Lots of them. And in our house, there were quite a few. One of them was a little storybook, The Little Engine That Could. How many of you remember that story? Good story, good story. Still good today. For those who don't know the story, not familiar with the story, it's about it's a little book that builds determination, hard work, positive thinking, persistence, and faith in the individual. It's about a little train that was loaded down and was headed up over a high, high mountain. And he approached the mountain, I think I can. Just kept going until he got up to the top and made it over the peak and came down the other side. I knew I could. Amen? So now there's some variations to the story. The one that I had was that one, pretty simple. There's some other stories that I saw that have entered into a helping hand. Another little train that helped along. Anyway, good story, good morals behind it, good motivation for all of us to be persistent, to keep pressing on. If we keep working at something that is worthy, that is honorable, we can eventually achieve that. Sometimes we set goals for things that probably should have been passed up. Amen? Things that we realize that wasn't worth it after all that effort, after all that time and money and whatever we put into it. In our daily life, we develop goals, we develop bucket lists, we develop wish lists, and with continued planning, persistence, we can reach those goals. But there's one thing on the earth that no one can do for another person. Nobody. And this one thing was a huge burden to the Apostle Paul. So much so that he wrote that his most earnest and greatest prayers would never achieve that goal, leaving him in great grief and great sorrow. He says, if I could, I would, but I can't. In fact, not even God the Father, Jesus the Son, or the Holy Spirit can do this one thing. What is this one thing? And is it something that concerns us? Before we get into this, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of joining together in worship and fellowship and the study of your word. We just pray that we will grow in knowledge and understanding of your scriptures, of your truths. Help us to be your people. Continue to remind us of your presence through your Spirit and the beauties of your creation, the reminders of the Scriptures, the fellowship that we enjoy together. In all things, let us honor and glorify you. Father, help us and guide us. Help us to do those things that we can do. Guide us to choose those things that we should do. Give us the resources, the power, the energy to continue on honoring and serving you. Father, help us to realize the great need that we cannot take care of ourselves, that it is a burden also on your heart. Help us to realize this and to have your heart. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for hope and promise through him. Guide us and direct us. in these coming moments. Let your word be proclaimed, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are beginning Romans chapter 9 and starting there at verse 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses here. The Apostle Paul writes, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through the Isaac, your descendant will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. We've been making our way through the book of Romans. He opens up the text telling us of the glory of, and the praise of God giving us the Redeemer. And yet, all humanity is caught in this trap of sin. Whether Greek or Jew, didn't matter. All people are in sin. And so God did something. He sent His Messiah, didn't He? He sent the Savior, Jesus. And those who put their faith and trust in Jesus and obey His commands can be in Christ. So everybody in the world is now part of the body of Christ, right? Wrong. And this is the sad part of the message, that not everybody has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He has dealt with the fact that even as a Christian, we still struggle with sin. And now he comes to the point where some people just refuse to accept Jesus Christ. Who are these people? He's talking about his fellow Israelites. People who should know better. And yet, they refuse to accept their Messiah. Let's look at this passage. I've broken it into three main thoughts. The first is that Paul prayed for his lost kinsmen, but could not trade places with them. He wanted to put himself in their shoes and them in his shoes. He knew the Savior. He had accepted the Savior. Yes, he was once a rebellious individual trying to get rid of this faith. But he had come to faith and belief in Jesus Christ, realizing that Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies. Jesus was the Messiah. And yet still, all of his kinsmen, not all, but it seemed like the majority, were still refusing to accept the Savior that they claimed they were waiting for. How frustrating would that be? Paul loved all of Israel. They were his brethren, so much so that he wanted, if it was possible to, he'd even give up his salvation for them. He loved them that much. That's a powerful statement. Are we willing to give up our salvation so that somebody else could be saved and then we go to hell? That's a powerful statement. What great love. And that's the love Paul had for his fellow Israelites, that they would be saved. But then he comes back to reality, and that's impossible. I can't take your place, and you can't take my place. We can't take our family members' place, and they can't take our place. Anyone that we love, no matter how much we want to, we cannot exchange life for life. Every person is responsible for their own choice and their own action. God gives every one of us our own mind, our own body, our own soul to control. Ezekiel chapter 18 talks about this, that a father's sins don't pass on automatically to the child. The child doesn't pay for the father's sins. The father doesn't pay for the child's sins. We don't pay for our neighbor's sins. The neighbor doesn't pay for our sins. We will pay for our own sins. This principle carries through all through Scripture. You are responsible and you are accountable for your thoughts, your desires, and your actions. And everybody around you is responsible for theirs. We see many warnings throughout Scripture, starting in the very beginning. God warned Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree or you will what? You'll die. God warned Cain, be careful with your thoughts about your brother. Did Cain listen? No. And the story goes on and on and on. Broken record over and over again. God warns us and we still choose terrible. God records the details of our life in His books. And this is stated in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. God is keeping a record book on every one of us. Many Israelites should remember their history, their whole lifestyle, the pattern of life, if they were following the law, demanded that they remember their history. The roots of how the Israelites came into being is recorded in Scripture, and they were to repeat that over and over again. In celebrating the Passover, what are they doing? They are reciting their history of how God delivered them for a special purpose. God preserved both the people and the key elements of their past in written text. What do we call that written text? The Old Testament, the Bible. Through their holidays, everything about Israel was to remind them they were children of God. They were commanded to repeat these stories for memory's sake and for their preservation. It was ordered. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school. Why wouldn't we want to recite the blessings of God? Has God done anything good for you? Count your blessings, name them one by one. As the old gospel song, Psalm 78, goes through the history, and in that case, the writer of Psalm 78 says, remember what your ancestors did in the desert. They rebelled against God. Don't follow their example. Remember God's blessings and honor Him. Serve Him. The focus of Israelites' existence was on a coming Savior. Over and over again, their scriptures, their teachings focused on a Savior, a Messiah for them and for the rest of the world to restore the human relationship between God and man. When did that break? When was it separated? At the very beginning. All of Scripture is focused on this. We were once with God. Sin separated us from God. Pretty simple, isn't it? And yet the Israelites forgot basic 101. And how many Israelites today have no idea what their history is? It's a sad story. They're fighting for their name, but they don't remember their purpose. And And we as Americans, we've forgotten our roots. We remember we're Americans, but what was it that established us as an American? I hated history because I wasn't taught why we were really Americans. It began with pilgrims searching for the freedom to do what? Worship God. To honor God. To live for God. We're sure not getting that in the schools today. Our nation has forgotten its past. And we're doomed unless we get back on track. How well do you know the Christian foundation? I've got a series of videos that I'd like to show. But if you're not going to show up, I guess I'll watch them by myself. I need your input. When would be a good time if you're interested to see this series? We'll talk about that later. Come to me and talk to me later. The focus of Israel's existence was on this coming Savior, and they totally forgot their purpose. Their relationship with God was lost. The Jewish nation was the protector and the provider of the coming Messiah. The one sent by God's repeated and faithful plan. Jesus was born, the Messiah. Matthew writes about the many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Matthew's gospel, if you're interested in seeing which prophecies did Jesus fulfill. He doesn't list all of them, but he does a pretty good job presenting Jesus to his fellow Jewish kinsmen. Jesus is the Savior. And this is why. And he makes this list. Jewish people who reject their history and purpose bring guilt and condemnation upon whom? Themselves. Through their neglect. And that is sad. Anyone who forgets their purpose is in danger. What is our purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Point number two, Jesus paid the full debt of sin for all humanity for all time. This is the basic message of the gospel. Jesus Christ paid for all sin, but we won't force people to change their mind, and Jesus doesn't force people to change their mind. He did everything necessary to provide the door to heaven so that they could walk into heaven through Him, but He doesn't force them into heaven. He wants them there. He said, come unto me. How many people? All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says more, much more. Jesus lived the perfect life according to the law of Moses. He then gave his life as the complete final payment for every sin. He had no sin of his own, but he took all of our sin upon himself. The scriptures tell us God is the only one who could bear the weight of all humanity's sins. How many people are in the world today? Approximately 8 billion, 7 to 8 billion. He took all of our sin. The previous generation, all the way back to Adam. All sin and every sin from here on into the future until Christ comes back was borne on the shoulders of Jesus. That would break a human. It would destroy us. But since Jesus was who? God in human flesh, He, the Almighty, was able to bear these sins, pay the price. What was the price? Death. He went to the grave, and because He was innocent, He wasn't guilty, what happened? Come on now. He rose. He conquered the grave for our benefit. God's Son was the only one capable of making the full payment for all sin and then overcoming the penalty. And God's desire is that all people would want to be with Him. We are made in His image. Scriptures are very clear about that. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn about. Come back to God. Our Father wants us to come home, to be with Him. God's great love for people motivated Him to provide that perfect sacrifice for all sin, giving His own Son. John 3:16. How many of us are willing to sacrifice even to the point of death for somebody else? We see it once in a while. It's not required of us immediately, but it may be. Do we love God enough to die for Him? That's what martyrs did. All the apostles except for John were killed for their faith, believing in Jesus. Today we have literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world being killed because they are what? Christians believing in Christ. And Jesus said, we need to be ready ourselves. We don't know when this world was going to turn upside down on us. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. And then He overcame grave. And we have the promise that when we die in Christ, we will what? Overcome the grave. We will live again. The message of salvation in Christ is for everyone. The final command of our Lord in Matthew and Mark is recorded. In Mark, it's chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. It's the Great Commission. Mark's rendition is that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Our future, and the future of every person, depends on their relationship with Jesus Christ. Will they believe in Jesus Christ? If there are any here today who have not made that commitment, we need to talk. This is serious. This is life and death. This is your eternity. Get it straight. Point number three. Paul did all that he could to lead people to Jesus Christ. He couldn't force them. He couldn't change places with them. But he said, I'm going to do my best to lead people. How did he lead people? Paul submitted himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are first introduced to him as, what was his name? Saul of Tarsus. He was the persecutor of the church. He hated Jesus in the beginning until the Lord struck him, blinding him, and his world was turned right side up. And we like to use the phrase, his world was turned upside down. No, his was turned right side up. Because before he was living for the devil. He was out murdering, torturing, killing people, doing everything he could that was evil to stop the church. And when he finally realized who Jesus was, he got his life straightened back out the way God wanted him to be a follower of life, of blessing, of giving, of loving, and all the other traits that God has for us. Is our world turned right side up or upside down? In Jesus, if we're walking with Him, we are right side up. Paul devoted his life to serving Jesus wherever he was. Immediately after he became a Christian, he went into a time of seclusion to rehash all of the Old Testament, all the laws that he had learned, all the rules and regulations, and he realized, as he analyzed the Old Testament, Jesus was the answer, the fulfillment. When he came out of that seclusion, he immediately began telling others about his faith in Jesus Christ. And they were looking at him and saying, "Who are you? Last time I saw you, you were trying to kill Christians. Now you're one of them." And so what did they try to do? They tried to kill him. And he goes into running for his life. But the rest of his life was devoted to serving Christ. He was serving Christ already when he was called to work in the church, specifically by Barnabas. And then the church was led by the Holy Spirit to call him into mission work. But it started because he devoted his life at the beginning. In daily living, he was committed. Acts chapter 13 tells us of that change that started that snowball effect of how God would change his whole world, letting him see places and things he had never dreamed of before in the service of the King. God has specific jobs for every one of his children. God has specific jobs for you. Romans chapter 12 gets into that. We'll get to that, Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come first, in time. The focus of Paul's conversations was to lead people to Jesus. Kind of like what Jesus did. When Jesus and the disciples were in Samaria and they came to a little Samaritan village and Jesus sent the disciples into town to get some food. And Jesus was sitting by the well, and along comes a woman of the world and starts talking with him. And what did Jesus do? Did he talk about the weather? No, he led her to a conversation about Messiah, the living water, himself. And Paul kind of followed that pattern. When he was at Athens, he found their idols all over town, and there was one particular idol he discovered that was to the unknown God. By the way, archaeologists have found in the ruins of Athens an idol that was to, guess what? The unknown God. Was it that exact idol that Paul saw? Possibly. Well, Paul used that as a springboard, as a conversation piece. Hey, you guys don't know which God you're worshiping? Let me tell you about the real one. Finding ways to strike up a conversation in everyday life, in people's everyday world. He used it as a starting point to talk about who? Jesus, the Messiah. Paul sent letters to churches and individuals to help them walk in righteousness. How many letters do we know about? Well, we have 13 saved for us. Some people say 14. Hebrews, we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say Paul did. Some say somebody else did. Doesn't matter. 13 of Paul's letters are saved. And we know that he wrote others because he refers to them in his other letters. Sending out information to the body of Christ to help them, to strengthen them, to correct their wayward ways. And we benefit from those letters still today. Letters preserved not as, hey, these are some advising thoughts from Paul. No, these are the Word of God. Because God worked through Paul to proclaim truth. And we still live by that truth. We cannot trade places with people who are lost. We cannot force them into a relationship with Jesus. There are many people who try to do that. And that's a sad story in itself. We can't do that. Their relationship with Jesus must be real, heartfelt, and true from their heart. They have to choose Jesus. But we can use our experiences and we can use our God-given talents to show others the love of Christ. We are to always be ready to talk about Him because we are living examples of the Lord. Christ living in us. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And Jesus told us, shine. Spice up the world with the truth. Share your experiences in Christ with other people. Use your talents the way Christ would want you to use them. Use your cookies for Christ. Share your donuts for the divine. Give a listening ear for the Lord of compassion. Be a repairman for the Redeemer of lives. Be a singer for the Savior. Be a gardener for God. Be a babysitter for the giver of life. Work for the glory of the wonderful counselor. Visit others for the Lord of victory. You figure out a way to use your talents for Jesus. Amen? As Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Follow the Spirit's lead. He's prompting your thoughts and your mind, motivating you to have some ideas. What can I do? Listen to the Spirit and follow His lead. Pray with me. Thank You, Father, for being in each of us through Your Spirit, that Christ is with us as He promised because He has given part of Himself, Your Spirit, to dwell within us. He is at Your right hand pleading our case. You are in heaven rooting for us that we would be Your children, be Your people in a world that is lost in darkness. Give us the strength to be Your witnesses, to face the challenges, to trust in You, and to be faithful until the day You call us home. We pray that there would be a mighty harvest for the glory of Christ. Use us according to Your plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.